Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's Word for our special meditation on this fourth Sunday in Advent is recorded in the first general epistle of John, chapter 1, reading from verse 1 through verse 4, as follows. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, whose blessed advent into this world of sin we are about to celebrate again at Christmas time, beloved hearers of his precious word. This is now the fourth consecutive Sunday on which we have centered our attention upon the advent of our Savior, his coming into the world to be our Redeemer, his coming into our hearts by means of his precious word and sacraments, and his coming again on the last day to be our judge and to receive us into his glorious heavenly kingdom. As we well know, not every coming can be anticipated with joy, and it doesn't take a whole lot of imagination to come up with but a few examples. No one rejoices at the arrival of his bank statements after the holidays. No one rejoices at the coming of his credit card statements. No one rejoices at the advent of the big package of forms and instructions from the IRS, which we anticipate after the new year. No one finds joy in the prospect of serious surgery, of an unexplained lump somewhere, or even of growing older. Similarly, the children of this world dread an unknown future, as the popularity of psychics clearly indicates. They cringe at the thought of a continued economic slowdown in our economy and the rise of inflation from day to day. They wonder whether they will be able to pay their bills and support their families. They wonder whether they will even be employed during the next year. They fly into a state of denial when the subject of their mortality comes up. In other words, that they could possibly die during this next calendar year. And they end up living in constant fear of God's judgment. Or so they should. We Christians, on the other hand, can face virtually any coming adversity in our life. Any reversal in our economic situation, any deterioration in the state of our health, and even the prospect of death this coming year. In cheerful hope, with heart content to take whate'er our Father's pleasure or his discerning love hath sent, we sing with the hymn writer. Why? Why can we do that? Oh, because our Savior's precious advent brings so much joy to our hearts, so much joy into our lives, that the sufferings of this present time, come when they may, cannot dampen it, nor should they even be allowed to try to dampen it. The Apostle John explains why in the text before us this morning. Namely, because our joy is not in us. It doesn't come from our positive mental attitude, even as Christians. It comes from a source outside of us. For the eternal Son of God is the source of our Advent joy, manifested in due time to be our Savior, witness to us and to all the world in the precious Holy Scriptures of our God, and received by faith in His blessed promises. John's theme is the Word of Life, referring not to the Word of the Gospel, referring not even to the Word of the Holy Scriptures in general, but very specifically to the only begotten of the Father, the eternal Son of God, that which was from the beginning, John says. That eternal life which was with the Father from everlasting. Jesus is called the Word because in Him God has revealed Himself as much more than the grand architect of the universe, much more than the force for good here in this world, much more than the supreme being whose justice and sovereign will rules arbitrarily and irresistibly over the children of men. No, in the eternal Word, in His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, God reveals Himself as a gracious, loving, and merciful God, whose eternal decree of redemption for all mankind, is manifested or made known in His Son and in no other. John writes in the opening verses of his gospel account concerning Jesus, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Here in our epistle text, John calls Jesus the Word of Life because He, as true God, has the fullness of the divine everlasting life in Himself. Moreover, He is the source of all true life, who not only created life in the first place, as we heard in that wonderful gospel prologue of John, but He offers eternal life through His name to all those who were dead in trespasses and sins, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace, Zacharias sings in his Benedictus. In order to do that, the eternal Word, this Word of life, became flesh and dwelt among us, John writes in his gospel. Jesus didn't appear on the scene out of nowhere. Jesus' advent into this world of sin was no covert operation. He had His angel announce it to the shepherds on Bethlehem fields, accompanied by choirs of holy angels praising God's grace and mercy to sinful men. He caused his star in the east to announce it to the wise men and lead them to himself in Bethlehem. He made his prophetic debut in the public eye and manifested himself as the Son of God and the Savior of the world by his preaching and by his wonderful miracles. John and the other disciples had heard him, John writes in our text. They had seen him with their own eyes. They had looked upon him. They had handled him with their own hands. And it wasn't just Jesus, the man, whom they heard, saw, and touched while they lived and worked with him for three wonderful years here in this world. For John says in his gospel, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, veiled in flesh. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, we sing in that favorite Christmas carol. Oh, what joy he brings in his holy advent, my beloved hearers. For this is the great mystery of godliness of which Paul writes to Timothy in his first epistle, that God was manifest, made known to mankind. God was manifest in the flesh to be man's redeemer. He had to be a true man in order to take our place under God's law as our substitute, to suffer and die in our stead, both of which God's justice demands. He had to be true God, so that his keeping of the law would be perfect and acceptable under the terms of God's justice, so that his sacrifice would be sufficient to purchase the release of all mankind from the wages of sin. He had to be true God, so that for us he could overcome death and the devil. This wonderful Savior, this life, was manifested unto us, John writes, so that we could have joy in him. No wonder the poet sings, joy to the world, the Lord is come. That is the emotion of Jesus' first visible advent into this world. For this Savior to be our joy, and not just the joy of the disciples who saw him and heard him, who lived with him, who touched him, Jesus had to be manifested. He had to be made known also to us. And this too, God in his mercy and grace arranged to do when he caused his disciples to bear witness and show unto us that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto them. John says in our text, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. We want to share this news. We want to share the fact of this manifestation. And outside of what we have shared with you concerning his manifestation, there is no record to disclose. Notice that what the disciples report to us in the Holy Scriptures is not some concocted myth, as the rationalistic modernists like to claim in defiance of God's Holy Spirit. For the Apostle Peter, having no doubt heard that ridiculous charge early on already, says emphatically in his second epistle, chapter 1, "We have not, in case you're wondering, followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you, when we manifested unto you the power and coming, the advent of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We saw what we saw. We heard what we heard. We touched what we touched. We experienced what we experienced, and we want to share all of that with you. These things write we unto you," John adds in our text. Why? That your joy, similar to our joy, that your joy may be full. What a wonderful blessing, therefore, redounding to our Advent joy is the fact that God the Holy Ghost moved these holy men to write and put into their minds the very thoughts which they expressed and the very words which they wrote. The very words whereby they bear witness and show us the eternal Son of God manifest in the flesh for our salvation. Whereby they declare unto us that which they saw and heard firsthand as eye and ear witnesses of the word of life manifested in due time to be our Savior. No wonder the Lord Jesus himself exhorts us concerning the value of the Holy Scriptures for our life and for our joy. Search the Scriptures, for in them, unlike any other written record in this whole world's history, in them ye think ye have eternal life. And you're right. They are they which testify of me. They are they which manifest me. They are they which manifest me for your joy. Search the Scriptures, that your joy may be full. Indeed, my beloved, here is the joy that Jesus brings to us in his holy Advent. He offers also to all men in the gospel. For God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of this joyous truth, the Bible tells us. Why is it then that so many who have even heard the testimony of the apostles and have read their eye and ear witness accounts, why is it that the joy of Jesus' advent escapes them? Certainly not because the apostles did not desire them to have that joy. For John writes in our text, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you." Why? "That ye also may have fellowship with us." Fellowship means sharing. So that you can share the joy that we have in the advent of our Savior. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The question is, have they not heard? Paul asks the Romans, Romans chapter 10. Hasn't the word gotten out yet about the eternal Son of God being manifested in the flesh to be the Redeemer of the world? Yes, verily, for real, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. People have heard this message. They've heard it at least with their ears. They have seen it at least with their eyes as they roll past churches that have the cross of Jesus Christ on the front of it, on the front of them. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, Paul says. They have not all believed the report of the holy writers. And in their unbelief, they have kept from themselves the joy of salvation of which the psalmist writes in Psalm 51, verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. That joy is offered to all men, sincerely, freely, earnestly, and efficaciously in the gospel, the giving means of God's grace to men. But that joy is received by and gladdens the hearts of those who confide in its source, who confide in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Redeemer and Savior. For believers and only true believers have fellowship with the apostles. Believers and only true believers share that wonderful joy of fellowship with the apostles who manifested it to them in the scriptures of our God. Believers and only believers have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, John writes. Faith is therefore the receiving means whereby we lay hold on all the blessings of redemption purchased and won by Christ our Savior, and make them our own. Faith is the means whereby we have the joy of salvation, of which Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of the Father, is the one and only source. For being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. There are a lot of people here in this world during this Holy Advent season, people who even call themselves Christians, who are anything but joyful at the prospect of Jesus coming. And it's not that they haven't heard the testimony of the evangelists and apostles concerning God manifest in the flesh to be their Savior. It's that this precious gospel is the same old, boring, childish Christmas gospel of Luke chapter 2, which people are, frankly, tired of hearing, since they practically know it by heart anyway. The same old gospel that children are tired of reciting. The same old gospel that people are tired of reading. The same old gospel that, more's the pity, many pastors are tired of preaching. Well, I've got news for such as despise, that is, think little of the precious gospel of God manifest in the flesh, of the babe lying in the manger, of peace on earth, in God's good will toward sinful men. Their joy will not be full if Jesus, the babe of Bethlehem's manger, is not the source of their joy. if his precious gospel is so loathsome in their eyes and in their ears and even on their lips, and if they are ashamed to witness and declare unto others that which has been witnessed, manifested, and declared unto them. And may God graciously forbid that they persist in such despisal, lest they never know, lest they never experience fullness of joy and pleasures at God's right hand forevermore. And rather, my dear hearers, by sincere faith in our Redeemer, may we keep and ponder in our mind God's wondrous love in saving lost mankind. Trace we the babe who hath retrieved our loss from his poor manger to his bitter cross. Those joyful tidings ere by us be sung of God incarnate and the Virgin's Son. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds by abiding faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.